Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Is my microphone on? Okay. So I want to begin this morning with a disclaimer that I will be preaching two separate sermons today, but I assure you that I will stay within my allotted time. However, I'm preaching two separate sermons because this scripture really contains two separate layers to it. This text focuses on those who are lost and those who are found. And I want to honor the fact that life is often a dance between the two, because we never get to claim one indefinitely. In fact, I invite you to turn to a neighbor near you. Really do this. So turn to your neighbor near you. Really look at them. And I want you to imagine, if you will, on their head, what an old preacher once said, that your neighbor is wearing a halo and at the same time a set of horns. You're laughing because you might know it's true, that we both wear a halo, and we have a set of horns. We are a mix of sinners and saints. That life is a dance between being lost and being found. And I don't know what kind of week you have had, but perhaps you are feeling lost this morning. Or you are feeling this joy of having been found. That's the end of the disclaimer. The first sermon is entitled, Now That We Are Lost. We all know what it is to be lost. I'm confident that if I asked, each of us would get up and share a story of a time we were lost. Some of those stories could be amusing, a vacation snafu, a wrong turn that provided a very memorable adventure, a regular story at family gatherings. However, some of those stories may be more serious, bringing up stronger emotions about a terrifying incident. But I imagine many of those stories would be literal in the sense that we were physically lost in a space, in a city, at a fair, in a big populated area. However, we might shy away from sharing the times when we were emotionally lost, when we disengaged from our friends and family, when we made decisions that drew us away from our people, our herd. There, we pursued our self-interest over our relationships. We were fixated on ourselves, blinded by the fact that we were wandering away. And sometimes we stray only a little ways, right? Just over the hill. We tell a white lie to get out of something instead of just being honest about it. Sometimes we have a snap judgment or prejudice that fails to capture the fullness of the person who is in front of us. Like the lost sheep, we wander, but just over to the next pasture. However, there are times in each of our lives where we stray a little further. Our prejudice takes root and gives way to action in hurtful and harmful ways. That white lie becomes woven with other lies like a spider web. Tangled, meant to snare and capture those closest to us. We manipulate others around us. We cheat. Sometimes we have wandered so far that we go to look back and the way we came from is unrecognizable. We can be so lost that even if we wanted to return to the flock, where would we go? How would we do it? Joyce Rupp, a writer and self-proclaimed spiritual midwife, says that no matter how much light we carry within us, there will always be times of feeling lost, being confused, seeking direction. She says this is the way of the human heart. It's a shame that we've done so much to the biblical understanding of sin. We often use that word sin as bad behavior or a behavior or a way of living that we don't fully understand. Sex, alcohol, smoking, some even say that a particular kind of love is a sin. Now, according to Abraham Heschel, in his foundational work of the prophets, he says to the prophets, sin is not an ultimate, irreducible, or independent condition, but rather a disturbance in the relationship between God and that person. Do you hear that? It's not this ultimate or independent. In other words, it's not this state of sin or this original sin, but a disturbance of relationship. It's when we live for ourselves and care nothing for the flock. It's when that behavior begins to take shape and come between us and others. And that's when we live disconnected. And there is a disturbance between God and us. Have you ever felt so lost that you thought even God could not find you now? Have you ever been so lost that you forgot who you were? That you are a beloved child of God. In this parable, there is the sheep who is lost as a sheep can be. And those who know sheep know that they can get pretty lost. It is clueless. Having stayed behind, beyond the sight or the sound of the flock. But this shepherd that this sheep has, this good shepherd, who by the standards of this day was a very well-off shepherd. You see, this shepherd had 100 sheep, which is quite a flock. Most shepherds of this high status wouldn't even notice the one or two that go missing. However, this shepherd notices when it goes missing, notices when it begins to go astray, counting 97, 98, 99, Where's 100? Where did she go? Where has he run off to? Where are they now? And in this parable, the shepherd asks the audience a question. Jesus asked them this question. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one who is lost? Now, the honest answer to that question is not revealed, but in this moment in history, the answer would be, no one does that. No one, Jesus, no one would be crazy enough to leave 99 defenseless sheep in the wilderness to go after the one that, let's face it, could be too hurt to come back or has already been eaten by wolves. Who would leave 99? No one, Jesus. Think about your investment. Think about your business. It's all on the line for that one sheep who has a habit, mind you, of just wandering away, who has this heart that gets lost all the time. Jesus, no one would go after that sheep. And Jesus responds, this shepherd does. This God of ours goes after those who are lost. This God of ours is reckless with mercy, reckless with grace, reckless with love. God does not hesitate to leave the 99 to search far and wide, over and under, above and behind. God will go mile by mile by mile searching for those who have gone astray. Has anyone here ever been so lost, scared, or alone? And then you saw over the hill a shepherd coming to get you. And you tried to stand when they came, but the shepherd said, "No, no, no, no. I will carry you home." Has anyone ever been lost, scared, or alone, and you've experienced a mercy, a love, a grace hold you tightly, saying, "It's going to be all right. You are going to make this through this. I have you now." I just have to say, for those that have experienced that, God is good. Amen? God is good. And this parable continues. When the shepherd finds the sheep, when the shepherd lays them on their shoulders, when they make their way back to the flock, the community, they bring foods and drinks and music, and they have a party. "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." From God's mercy comes an exuberant joy for the sinner who makes the flock complete now. It wasn't complete, but now it is. They weren't whole, they weren't a community until the lost was found and brought home safe and sound. The second sermon is entitled, "Now That We're Found." The Pharisees and scribes, religious, church-going folks, watch Jesus eating with sinners. Pharisees and scribes consider themselves found, not lost, holy persons connected with God. However, they take offense at Jesus celebrating with the once lost sheep. They do not share in God's joy. In fact, they're growing bitter and more cynical, more tribal. The text says that at the sight of this shared meal, this sight of communal pride that, may I say, lights the night of the town, it causes those who are found or part of that in-group to grumble. Jesus was a scandal. For the 99 who are found, for Pharisees and scribes, maybe us, speaking to myself, this text offers a warning that could be best exemplified through an old Jewish story about the good fortune of a hardworking farmer. And the story goes this way. That the Lord appeared to this farmer and granted him 3 wishes, but with the condition that whatever the Lord did for the farmer would be given double to his neighbor. The farmer, scarcely believing his good fortune, wished for 100 cattle. Immediately he received 100 cattle and he was overjoyed until he saw that his neighbor had 200. So he wished for 100 acres of land, and again he was filled with joy until he saw his neighbor, who was, can you guess it, was given 200 acres of land. Rather than celebrating God's goodness, the farmer could not escape feeling jealous and slighted because his neighbor had received more than he had. And so finally, he states his 3rd wish, that God would strike him blind in one eye. And as the story goes, God wept. God wept. For those of us who may consider ourselves found, who find ourselves safe and surrounded by a loving community, who knows God's love for us, we must be aware and beware that we too are prone to wander. if we choose not to join in God's joy, if we believe God's mercy is for us and not for those people, we have distanced ourselves from God. And as Abraham Heschel says, there is a disturbance between us and God. This parable is not for those who are lost, but it is directed at those who consider themselves found. Each and every day we wake up, we are invited to a celebration that is not centered purely on us, but this celebration is for creation, for community, for the possibility of all becoming one. The question is, will we join God in the celebration? Will we seek the kingdom of God, a human family where the image of God is protected, guarded, and allowed to flourish in its abundant diversity? Will we find joy that God is good and God takes care of us? Will we find joy that God is good and God takes care of others? May it be so. Amen.